So I made the goal of writing and publishing a book in 30 days for college students and really just the lifestyle that college students have. And for myself, I'm doing two majors. I'm doing a podcast show, now I'm writing a book, and I just have a lot of other things going on in my life. So this book is really to help college students try and figure out really what they, for one, want to do in college, but also have a really great lifestyle while they are in college. And I mean, myself, I want to be an entrepreneur, but this book isn't just for entrepreneurs. The principles and the topics that I talk about, you can really apply to numerous fields and students that are in college. I mean, obviously not everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. So I mean, if you are in college and you want to be, I don't know, a doctor, you're an engineer or something, you can apply the principles that I'm going to be talking about in my book to your lifestyle when you are in college.
This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 83, with podcast host and new best-selling author, Saba Ali.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things geek.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey, girls and guys, welcome back to another edition of the Angles of Latitude podcast. Thank you for dropping in today. My name is JC Preston, and today I'm with my co-hosts, Layla Ramadian and Daniel Postma. We're from the team at New Inceptions, a website dedicated in helping people find their own personal freedom. And in this podcast, released each Thursday, we bring you life lessons or a message from successful entrepreneurs, experts, and artists to help you do your life's work and live a lifestyle that you're proud of. This session is powered once again by our friends over at Fizzle.co. And you know, it's amazing when you can live life on your own terms. And having your own business is, in my opinion, the way to do that. And it's really the only thing that will give you your own personal freedom. But the path to that freedom is extremely challenging. You know, it's amazing and possible to do it. I mean, there's all these examples all over the web, right? But just like Gary Vee would say, it's challenging, and it's very challenging. And many people give up before they ever really get started because they don't have that support. And that's why I do this show, to give you guys encouragement, tips, and tactics to build your own indie business. However, if you want to go deeper and be a part of a membership community that won't let you quit, you should definitely look at Fizzle. You know, it comes with both training courses on just about everything. They're both, you know, they're adding to it all the time. And in the meantime, as you're progressing through those courses, they have a form in there that is simply amazing. Ask a question, and on branding, they'll help you with that. Technology questions, they're going to help you there too. And the best part is that you can get in there for 5 weeks free by visiting newinceptions.com/fizzle. Again, that's newinceptions.com/fizzle. So back in session 63, I had a chat with a gal by the name of Laura Peterson, and she's the host of the podcast called Copy That Pops. And recently she's been doing some work with a guy by the name of Brandon T. Adams, which I haven't had the pleasure of meeting yet, but some of you might have actually heard of. Another up-and-coming entrepreneur that Brandon is working with is a gal by the name of Saba Ali, and she's today's guest. As much as Saba has going on, she's definitely crushing it, and not only is she doing a double major at Iowa State University, she's also starting her career with a bang by recently becoming a best-selling author and doing a twice-a-week podcast called Dorm Rooms to Conference Rooms. As you might know, if I could do some of my career over, I would have loved to have gotten started in business while I was still an undergrad myself. However, my shallow perspective at the time led me to really not realizing that I could do more than was what was being told me to do. And not only was I blinded by that pursuit of going after my engineering degree, I was also still comparing myself to a lot of my peers. And so if I was doing as much as they were, then, you know, I'm doing just great. Well, that's not how it worked, gang. Anyway, at the time, it never occurred to me that I might be forcing myself to pursue the wrong major. And I didn't have my wake-up call, I guess you could say, until I had a series of internships that utilized the skills that I was using and learning about. And I quickly realized that I had chosen the wrong path. And I was later able to correct some of that by doing my master's studies in organizational leadership and supervision, OLS. But academic discipline had already been trained into me at that point, and it would take several years for me to escape the mindset that I let the world give me. In today's interview with Saba, we find her in the midst of writing her book that she planned to be a bestseller from day one. We also discuss why she's doing a double major in fashion and business, and we also find out how she's been able to balance everything that she's doing. You know, if you're a college student or about to start college and you find yourself not knowing exactly if you're picking the right path, then I really think hearing Saba's perspective in this session will give you a bit more clarity. And there's also lots of other good stuff that she's going to share in this one that you're going to be able to find at our show notes at newinceptions.com/83. And of course, I'll be on after the show to fill you in on anything we might have missed in today's conversation. Hey everyone, welcome back to today's show. JC here with two co-hosts today, Daniel and Layla. Hey guys, how you guys doing?
Doing great.
We are just slightly coming up to spring, and Layla's gotten a whole bunch of things going on. Daniel is back with his long month tour with Dane, doing the whole music thing, and that was
Were the guy that did the stuff with Dane.
Yeah, that was cool.
Nice. I get confused with Dane and Daniel and Clay.
Yeah, basically cool. For anyone who's just listening for this first time, Dane Maxwell is a successful entrepreneur who became a musician, and I got to go on an amazing tour with him from Iowa down to Texas and then over to California, and it was really, really fun.
Yeah, and when the guys finally got to California, you're like, the beach!
It was amazing. There was snow, in Iowa and Kansas, so it was nice to get somewhere warm.
Yeah, there's...
How long was this tour, or this internship that you did, shadowing him?
I shadowed him for... Okay, so I shadowed him 2 years ago at his home in California for about a month, and it's been about a year and a half since then. And so when he invited me to go on the tour this time, it was about 28 days on the road. And we started at his parents' house, and he was kind of afraid to leave the house and start the tour because we didn't really have a lot of gigs lined up. But then we got going, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I've got to learn more about this.
Well,
sometime.
And there was a lot of us who are helping you trying to get some things lined up.
Yes,
it seems like it actually worked out pretty well. So
JC was helpful. Jonathan Heston was helpful. A lot of people contributed to helping us find where we're going the next day.
Oh, wow.
So awesome. Well, again, pleasure having you guys both on. Try to be nice to each other. Try to let each other have some, conversations, share time in here. But, Anyway, the reason I'm having both of you guys on is because our guest today is actually someone that I think that both of you will be able to contribute to, and she'll be able to contribute back both to you. She's actually the host of the Dorm Rooms to Conference Rooms podcast, and with her co-host Dan Tiemann. Is it Dan Tiemann? Tiemann?
Tiemann.
Saba?
Tiemann, yeah.
Okay. With her co-host Dan Tiemann, they talk with other successful millennial entrepreneurs about business and how their time in college was spent gearing up to where they are today. And, similar to what we're doing here at AOL, but more focused on millennials and specifically post-college, success. Outside of the podcast, she is currently on her path in doing a double major in business management and apparel merchandising and expects to graduate in 2018. So, without further ado, guys, let's welcome today's guest, Saba Ali. And Saba, how are you doing today?
I am doing great. Thank you guys so much for having me on today. I love to be on podcasts, just sharing my journey on everything that I'm doing right now. So thank you guys so much for having me today.
Oh, totally. Totally pleasure having you on. And for me, I always love having other podcasters because they're kind of used to, you know, being on the horn and just relaxing a bit. It's because sometimes, you know, you're going to have some guests that are very uptight and they're thinking, you know, you can kind of relate to this. They're,
yeah, definitely.
You know, they're thinking that they're up for a speech or something. And it's like, no, just chill out. So
yeah, just very relaxed.
Exactly.
Yeah. So before we get too much into what you're up to today, I'm really curious, Saba, what was your life like before you got into all this? What was it like? Where did you grow up? What was your home like?
Yeah, for sure. So it's funny because I'm still here where I was born at. I was born and raised in Ames, Iowa. So small little town in the Midwest, but it's a really great place just to raise a family and stuff like that. My parents are actually both from India. So I wasn't born in India. I was born in Ames, but I am Indian. And I have an older brother and an older sister. So we just grew up here in Ames. I went to high school here. I'm still really great friends with some people who I went to elementary school with just because they've been around here in Ames as well. So I did that. I went to high school here in Ames. And then I decided to actually stay in Ames and then go to Iowa State University, mainly because ever since I was younger, I really loved fashion. And I know in the future, I really want to do something with fashion. And my older sister, Aisha, she went to Iowa State University, and she always told me how there was a really great fashion show there and a really great program for apparel merchandising. So obviously, knowing me, I had to go to Iowa State to do fashion there. But honestly, I like Ames just because it's a really great town. But I know in the future, I want to move out of Ames. But I'm still here right now just working on my thing. But that's just a little bit of background on me.
Well, that's awesome to hear. I'm also curious to know, you said you really liked fashion. As a little girl, was there anything that you did with fashion? Like, did you put on fashion shows with your sister? Or, like, what kind of projects did you do that got you inspired into that as a little girl?
Yeah, so the first thing was I always would play dress up just with my mom's clothes. I mean, we're Indian, so we had a lot of Indian clothes and Indian jewelry. So I kind of just started loving fashion at a really young age, just dressing up with my mom, because we would always go to different events and, like, family gatherings, and we would always dress up for that. So, I mean, she would help me do my hair and stuff like that. So just doing that at a really young age, I started to really love fashion. And then in high school, there was actually a fashion show that we would put on. So in high school, I actually wanted to be a designer. Right now, I'm doing the business side of fashion here in college. But back in high school, I wanted to be a designer. So I wanted to style, make clothing for people. So I think I was a junior. I decided to design 3 outfits for my best friends in high school. So I did that. It turned out really great. We did the fashion show. But then I kind of soon realized that I really like the business side of it rather than the design side. So, I mean, I still do like the sewing and stuff, but I kind of shifted gears when I was in high school.
Yeah. Well, kind of going back to the Indian apparel, I've always been a fan myself of a lot of the traditional men's garbs, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
That, you know, they really kind of jazz up. And I've seen one of my friends who's been a guest on the show, Brian Glassman. You know, he was a friend of mine back at Purdue, and he ended up marrying into an Indian family. So, for one, he had 2 weddings, one here and then one back in India. Mm-hmm. And it was just really kind of cool to see him all jazzed up and to, like, you know, the traditional stuff. And,
yeah, for sure.
But yeah, no, I mean, so as you're going on here, I mean, you're currently doing the 2 majors. Has that been kind of a struggle to, like, focus on what made you go get 2 majors?
Yeah, so I actually always tell people why I do 2 majors, because everybody always asks me, like, why not just do a major and a minor? But obviously I was always interested in fashion, but then when I was in high school, I took numerous business classes, so I kind of really started to like the whole business aspect of, you know, fashion, and then just marketing, management. And I know, actually, when I was in, like, middle school, I know that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I know that I wanted to have my own company when I was older, like a fashion clothing company. So when I was in high school, I had that year when I wanted to be a designer, but then I started taking business classes and I was like, okay, maybe I actually want to do the business side of fashion rather than the design side. So mm-hmm. coming into college, obviously I knew that Iowa State University had a really great apparel merchandising program, and then they also had a really great business program. So me, I'm an overachiever sometimes. I like to do a lot. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do two majors, because sometimes the minor, sometimes it doesn't really do much because it's not going to be on your diploma or anything. But I just really wanted to do two majors just because I couldn't choose between one or the other. And I want to get both aspects and both sides of each field. So that's why I'm doing two majors. And I mean, in the beginning, it was kind of a struggle just to balance everything because I do take full semester of classes every semester. So, I mean, the max is 18 credits, but this semester I'm actually taking 19 just because I do want to graduate on time. But I've gotten really good as just like balancing everything in my schedule. So, I mean, I wouldn't say it's too hard, but if people don't know how to schedule out their time well, then it can get pretty difficult sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I got to ask you though, you said that you had, even at an early age, you saw yourself getting into business. Did you have some sort of an influence there that, like, someone in your family, or is it like, where did you, I knew for me, for example, that I wanted to be involved with the gaming community, or not the gaming community, but the gaming making, because, you know, I liked playing video games when I was growing up. And so I totally went a backward way of doing that and totally bypassed that exit as I went into electrical engineering, because back when video games were initially coming around, it was like, the people that made those were all electrical engineers. Little did I think about the fact that the ones that were being developed then, or even today, you're not having electrical engineers creating the video games of today. So anyway, long story short, went the wrong direction to do that in the long run. So what inspired you to go into, like, have that knowledge of business at such a young, early age?
So honestly, I don't think any of my family had that much of an impact on me. I think it was mainly just the aspect of something really big in fashion, like Coco Chanel or Prada, and having that really big effect on fashion. Just gave me that, like, oh, okay, that's something that I want to do in fashion. So I would watch like TV shows like Project Runway and stuff, and see designers make their clothing and be like, okay, I want to do that one day. I want to have my own fashion line. I mean, obviously I'm not going to be designing it, but have someone else design and just have that effect on the fashion industry. So, I mean, my family, they were entrepreneurs. My dad, he works with computer software. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, but I didn't have that influencer person really when I was younger. It was mainly just like watching TV and just knowing that I wanted to do something different in the fashion industry.
Well, you know, what's really interesting is that, you know, you mentioned the Indian background that you had. I think that had a, in my opinion, could have a huge influence on you, because there is so much color and energy coming from that part of the world with, I mean, because I'm Persian, but when I was growing up living in Iran for the short period of time, because I was born and raised in Houston and I lived in Iran, we were watching TV shows from India.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of color, lot of fashion fabric. We would watch India MTV. And so I'm a huge fan for the cotton. I love the fabric and the colors, like just the texture of it. And for me personally, I think that's how I got more into yoga, because I love the yoga wear clothing that they would make for some of the studios. But just the fabric, I just loved the fabric. It's like that rough cotton color dyeing. And my friend told me, he was Indian, said that's like 1,000 years of craft that they've mastered in terms of the color and the dyeing. So I was like really impressed by that. But it's good. I mean, it's in your blood. So it comes from somewhere. And that's really cool that you have that rich, exotic background. And hopefully you can use it to your advantage.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I love everything like Indian wear, wedding dresses. I mean, weddings in India are so extravagant. I mean, yeah, it is like those really bright colors and stuff. I know I have a lot of Indian clothes back home. But I mean, I just love wearing them just because you feel so like bright and so sparkly. There's a really great energy that comes out when you wear those clothing. So I really like that aspect of it. But yeah.
Would you be looking to infuse any of that into like more of the Western style then or what? I mean,
I was actually thinking about that. So I mean, later on, we're probably going to talk about what I'm doing right now, but I do want to start like a fashion company. I'm trying to still think about the actual route and the actual style of my clothing. I think it would be really cool to somehow incorporate my Indian culture within it because I know my dad, he would be really proud if I did something like that. And I know, I mean, I love Indian clothes. I love my culture. So doing that alongside with my business and incorporating it somehow, I think that'd be a really great way to bring it in the fashion industry. Because I mean, in America, you always don't see different cultures emerging in the fashion industry. So doing something different like that would be good.
Yes. Well, I'd be happy to talk to you, Saba, after the show if you wanted to bounce ideas off, because I don't have that passion in what you're doing, but I have a lot of feedback to give because there is a lack of that cultural influence that I think this country needs in terms of bringing in the beauty of countries that other people think negatively of. And so it'd be really cool. And I have a couple ideas that I have seen Persian designers do, but some have failed tremendously because they emphasize so much on one thing and they didn't look at the big picture. So I would love to share with you my ideas with you. Just kind of just take it whatever you like with it, if that's something that you are interested in.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to. I love hearing feedback from other people because, I mean, that's the first step in really creating a business, making sure that your idea and your business will sustain. So yeah, no, definitely. I'd love to.
I saw in California this woman who is a dancer from India, and she had all of these beautiful scarves that she danced with, or they were more like shawls, but like while she was dancing with them, it looked at one point like it was a dress, and another point it looked like something else. Like it kept transforming, and I thought like the fabric she used was so versatile. And then at one point in the dance, she took one of the scarves that she was dancing with, and she wrapped it around a guy's head and made him look like what are those guys called from India? They're like, they wear like the headscarves. I don't know.
Oh, they're like turbans.
Yeah, she turned it into a turban and put it on his head, and it was really cool. But anyway, I was just curious if you've ever seen scarves like that before.
I have, yeah. I feel like I have some somewhere in my house. I know, because my mom, she loved Indian clothes. Obviously, she's Indian, so she had a lot of different types of scarves, a lot of Indian clothes. And my mom actually passed away, so I still have her wedding dress, and it's so extravagant. I love it. But yeah, no, definitely, I've seen those scarves before.
So it's funny that you mentioned that, Daniel, because I used to do belly dancing, and with the scarf, the scarf is what made or broke the dance. So it's just how it flowed. That's pretty cool that you mentioned that. But yeah, I mean, it's a very versatile piece of clothing. So Saba, what are you currently working on besides, you know, the two majors you have? You're looking to start your own clothing line. You know, what other things are you currently wanting to work on as of right now within the next 6 months?
Yeah, so actually right now, I am working on writing my own book and making it an Amazon bestseller in 30 days. So back in January, February, the beginning of 2017, I made the goal of wanting to write a book. Whether it was in the summer, towards the end of the year, I wasn't sure, but I knew that I wanted to do something just to gain more credibility in my field. Obviously, I'm still in college, and I worked a lot with college students, so I wanted to do something that was kind of for college students also. So I made the goal of writing and publishing a book in 30 days for college students and really just the lifestyle that college students have. And for myself, I'm doing two majors. I'm doing a podcast show. Now I'm writing a book, and I just have a lot of other things going on in my life. So this book is really to help college students try and figure out really what they for one want to do in college, but also have a really great lifestyle while they are in college. And I mean, myself, I want to be an entrepreneur, but this book isn't just for entrepreneurs. The principles and the topics that I talk about, you can really apply to numerous fields and students that are in college. I mean, obviously not everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. So, I mean, if you are in college and you want to be, I don't know, a doctor, or you're an engineer or something, you can apply the principles that I'm going to be talking about in my book to your lifestyle when you are in college. I'm really excited about it just because it's something so different. I am not like a really great writer. I am not like, I'm obviously not doing a journalism major or anything like that, but I know that I actually do weekly blogs. So that was kind of my inspiration of writing a book also, just because, I mean, writing a book isn't that scary. If you break it down, I have broken it down literally each day of March, I am writing part of my book. So March 31st, I'm going to have it up on Amazon. So I'm just really excited about it. The journey's been really great so far.
That's really cool. Now, are you working with an editor too at the same time to kind of check to make sure? Because I'm not a good writer either, but it's something I've always thought about in terms of, are you looking to get it proofread? And
yeah, so right now I'm actually trying to find an editor who can edit and proofread my book. But Laura Peterson, she actually did the same thing that I'm doing right now. She wrote and published a book in 30 days and made an Amazon bestseller. So she's actually, where I'm doing weekly Skype calls with her, and she's kind of just taking me through the process on how she did it. Just because the end result, I want to make it an Amazon bestseller the first day I have it published and up on Amazon. So she did help me in the beginning step of just brainstorming my ideas, putting it all out there, and then just outlining it from each chapter in each week in March. And then actually later today, I'm going to have another call with her, and then we're going to talk about kind of what I want to do for the title, the cover art, if I want to have a foreword in my book, and then just how to put it up on Amazon, the whole layout, the format, and everything like that. So I am in the process.
Yeah, that's really cool. That is so, so freaking cool. Now, I have to ask you this question. I need to understand this. Why is that? A, why does it have to be 30 days? And B, why is it important for it to be an Amazon bestseller, not on the bookshelves like a Barnes & Noble or having something that a traditional book writer would do?
The reason I want to do in 30 days is because I didn't want to write a book just like, because I know people take years and years to write and perfect a book. That's not the main thing. That's not like my main goal that I want to do in life. That's just something that I want to do to just gain more credibility and build up my personal brand. And I want to do it in 30 days just because I don't want to take more time out of my life to write a book. I mean, it is important for me, but I mean, just having that goal and that time frame of writing a book, I know it can happen because Laura's done it. I know a couple other people who have done it in 30 days, and I know myself that I could do it. So that's why I did it in 30 days. And for me, I'm in college, so this week I'm on spring break, so I have a week off. So it just gives me more time to write my book. And then also, the reason I'm putting it up on Amazon is just because not everybody reads physical books nowadays. They have it on Kindle and stuff like that. So that's why I want to have it up on Amazon. And if you're an Amazon bestseller, that gains your credibility more. I'm in the process of building more of my personal brand because I want to become like an influencer in my field. So having that credibility of, oh, she wrote a book, she's an author, and she made an Amazon bestseller. I mean, that sounds good, right? So, I mean, that's something that I wanted to do, and I know I'm pretty sure I can do it with, like, everybody who's helping me.
That's great. That's so great. And Laura is helping you, give you the advice you need to make it a bestseller, too. So it's like you have a book writing coach.
For sure.
Well, and the thing is when she was on our show, here, when I got the chance to talk to her, she was in the process of writing her book as well. And so, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's obviously a true and tried method of how she's gotten her done, and then obviously can help you with that. You had mentioned that you also have a course on achieving your goals that you set out. How has that background knowledge of having your own way of doing that, how does that help you out actually be able to pursue this book creation and then later publishing?
Yeah, so I created a course solely on goal setting because, for one, I just love to set goals. I feel like setting goals is really a great way to actually fulfill your dreams and get those successes. So I created this course. It's a really easy course to go through. It's called Confront to Conquer the Challenge. So it's pretty much just a course that you can do in 30 days. And I set it for 30 days just because I like that time frame. And it's pretty much setting a goal, like an achievable goal that you can do in 30 days. So not like a huge goal, like, oh, making like millions of dollars if you don't have it starting with nothing, but actually achieving or attaining a goal that you can do in 30 days. So I kind of broke it down on first step one is setting your goal. So making sure it's timely, attainable, relevant. Are you going to gain from this goal? And is it actually like a tough goal? Because I mean, this is something that you're going to be doing in 30 days. Is it super easy or is it still okay? You're actually going to work for it. And then step two is actually like gaining that mindset of actually wanting to do a goal. Because I know when the new year begins, everybody sets goals for the new year. But I know, I think it's like January 18th or something. By then, people actually stop working on their goals. And it's really sad because a lot of people, they don't have actual planner, they don't actually physically write down their goal. So I mean, step two is actually having that mindset that you actually want to achieve that goal. And then throughout my course, I have like these daily diary type of things just on like reflecting on your goals that you can do. So then that just like gives you like, okay, I'm actually still working on it bi-weekly or bi-daily and stuff like that. So it just kind of breaks down everything that you need to know for achieving a goal in 30 days.
Okay. Well, and I'm sure that when Daniel and Dane were on their recent journey that, you know, they just kind of started taking action. As you said, you know, when we were coming into the show, that they just kind of took off. And, you know, eventually, as they are progressing, I guess they weren't sure how they were going to get to their destination, but the gaps were filled along their path and they made it work. In fact, I'm kind of curious as to what Daniel's perspective is and how that all went to and how it can relate to what you were just saying.
Well, it's interesting because it was also about 30 days. So it's fun putting this into this framework because we both knew where we were starting. We were starting in Iowa and we knew where we were ending. We were ending in California and I knew that we had to be there by the 28th of February, because that's when my plane trip home was. And a lot of the things in the middle weren't all filled out. But what I did know was, like, I knew Dane was going to be practicing guitar for an hour in the mornings, and then he'd have an hour with his coach, Jacqueline, at 1. And he would map out his entire schedule for the day, like, basically hour by hour, of what he needed to work on. And then I kind of filled in the gaps in certain areas and then would make calls and find places for him to play at. So it's like I really like the format of the setting up a 30-day goal, because you can do a lot in 30 days. So does that kind of answer your question, JC?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And even if you're like, because a lot of people are like, oh, it's just a month. Well, yeah, no, it's a significant amount of time for sure. So,
okay, Sabo, I'm going to just have to bluntly tell you something. I see something here that I'm sure a lot of people are noticing, and that is, okay, you want to start a fashion line. That's one area. Then you want to write a book on a different area. And then you are doing two majors at the same time. And then, so is there anything else I'm missing that you're working on right now?
Well, I do help. I'm helping with the Young Entrepreneur Convention, which is actually an event that's going to be happening next month in April. So last year, I was actually an intern for this event, and an ISU alumni, Brandon T. Adams, put it on. It's pretty much just like a business conference for entrepreneurs who, I mean, want to go there, listen to speakers, network, and there's also a pitch competition. So if they have a business idea, they can pitch it to us and possibly win prizes from it. So I'm actually a part of the team this year, just putting it together and just setting it. So I'm really, that's another thing that I kind of am working on the side along with my team. So that's something that's going to be happening April 21st and 22nd in Des Moines, Iowa.
Wow.
Cool.
I think that's awesome. Lot. Yeah. So I think that's where you're going, Layla.
Well, what I'm going is that, okay, so I am... I'm guessing you're 21.
I am 20.
You're 20. So you're 11 years old, younger than me. Where I was in your shoes 11 years ago was exactly what I wanted to do and was doing and stuff. And obviously that changed. The course changed at 25. Completely my course changed. And then it changed again at 28. So, but I think where I'm at now, I'm trying to see myself in your shoes where you were at 20 and how you're managing the time and how you're doing all this. Because you said, I'm writing the book to gain more credibility. But you're writing the book to gain more credibility in an area that's not in the same category of you starting a fashion line. So my question is, you want to gain credibility in what?
I'm actually glad that you brought this up because back in January, I actually started. So Brandon T. Adams, he's actually my mentor and he has his own company, Live to Grind. So I've been working with him kind of just with his stuff for the past year. And he's actually the one who inspired me just to actually start in college. And we actually wanted to start something for college students because I kind of started liking the whole inspiration thing for college students, which is why I started a podcast for college students with another college student, Dan Tiemann, who's my co-host. And we actually started like an influential accelerator type of thing in January. And it was pretty much just like a monthly subscription Facebook community type of thing where we would have college students opt into it. We would help them kind of teach them how to build their personal brand. If they have business ideas, how to act on them, because that's something that college students need. But that completely failed. It did not work at all. I mean, we probably only got a couple people who were interested and nobody actually wanted to sign up for it. So that's something that we actually failed upon. But I kind of was really scattered back then because I kind of wanted to just start acting on my ideas. And my main focus and like my main thing that I want to achieve in life is my fashion line. So that's why I am acting on that right now. But the reason why I'm writing my book and still trying to gain my credibility in that college field is because I'm in college right now. And just because college has helped me so much throughout my life. I mean, that's how I met Brandon T. Adams, who is my mentor now. And because of him, I probably wouldn't be doing this podcast with you guys right now. I wouldn't have started my own podcast. So I feel like college has been really a great influence on me. So that's why I really want to inspire people in college. And that doesn't mean that I can still like not do my my fashion business, you know. It's just a different aspect that I want to be in. So I think I really want to be known in that college field. But then in the future, as I am starting my fashion business, be known in that area.
I see. So you're trying to basically, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you're trying to write the book to kind of close the seal of any wounds or any the scatteredness you say that you had or you were in, to kind of say, let me set the tone here. This is my message.
A little bit, yeah. And the reason I'm doing it like this year, I'm a junior, so I still have one more year left in college. So, I mean, obviously I'm not going to be in college forever. So my target right now is college students for this book. But once I graduate, I don't think I'm going to really be in that college field anymore. I'm going to want to be doing my fashion business. So I feel like right now it's the best time because I am in college, if that makes sense.
Yes. So you're trying to create this product while you're in a field that you are currently fresh and you're an expert in, that you can use it and as a tool for future students and people that want to know how to survive. I mean, I wish I had that. I didn't have a life in college. JC, you know this. I was literally looking at the concrete for 9 years, walking to and from college. I did not experience the breakfast club. I didn't do anything. It was all school because I had that NASA goal. So it's really great that you're doing this and you're giving yourself credibility by saying, I don't have experience in this field in the future, but I have experience now in this current state I'm in. And here's a product I want to make and have that being a lasting impact for other students in the future.
Yeah, definitely.
I have something really kind of interesting, or not interesting, but I'm interested to know more about this event that you're putting on. How can someone that is in, say, I mean, do you guys, for one, at your guys' school, do you have a prevalent entrepreneurship program? And if you, and whether or not that you do or not, how can someone put on a similar event and have success at it?
Yeah, so I am not like the founder or anything of this event. So Brandon, he's an ISD alumni. I believe he's 26 now. And he just had this idea last year and he just wanted to implement it. So I remember he came and spoke at Iowa State University last fall. And this is kind of going to be a long story. I hope that's okay.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Okay, so this is like when I met him. So it was last year in fall. It was during business week at my school. And back then, I know that I want to do something in fashion, but I really didn't have this entrepreneurship drive that I have right now. Mm-hmm. So I remember I was actually really sick that day, but I remember I was sitting in my class and my professor told me that there's this speaker that's going to be talking about entrepreneurship. And if you go, you get extra credit for it. So me, I was like, okay, I might want to go just because I want that extra credit. That's only the only reason that I really went was because of that extra credit, because honestly, I didn't really like to sit and listen to speakers because every other speaker bored me to death. But I made that decision to go and listen to Brandon speak. So I was sitting there and I saw him walk in. I was like, oh my gosh, I could be sleeping on my bed right now. Like, why am I here? And I just had a really bad attitude. But the minute he started talking about his journey and everything that he was doing, it really changed my mindset, just because the way he shared his journey and his story was really inspiring. And then towards the end, he brought up the Young Entrepreneur Convention and he was talking about this whole vision that he had about bringing like-minded individuals in the field of entrepreneurship in, at this event in Des Moines, Iowa, and he was looking for interns. So that's when I reached out to him. I was like, okay, I really want to help you with this. Like, this sounds really cool. So we made it happen last April. It was a really great success. We probably had like 600 people there. And then this year, we're bringing it back again. This year, I'm actually a part of the team. I've been working with Brandon just with his stuff. Also, just getting that mentorship from him. And right now, like for me, my role in this event is just kind of to market it at my university. I mean, the College of Business here, Iowa State University, is a sponsor for this event. So a lot of students, they are kind of intrigued of what's going on. So my role is just kind of just to market it and get the ticket sales up for this.
Gotcha. And
that's great.
So I'm seeing, Seba, is like, not only do you have dreams of starting a fashion industry, but or fashion business, it's like you're also really stepping up to be a leader in a lot of different areas. And I can tell that you have a really strong caring for your other students and helping them to create basically their own life. What kind of future do you envision for the planet at large? Like, if you could have the world be any way, like where are you trying to get people to go?
Yeah, so throughout the past year, I've actually learned something that I've learned within myself is I actually really like to help other people. And that's one of my main goals for the future, is to be that leader and that influential person in my field. I mean, right now I'm doing it for college students, but when I do get older, I have this whole vision that I want to do in the fashion industry. So for my company, I've been thinking, so myself, I'm a very small person, and I kind of want to take the petite fashion industry to a whole nother level. I really liked the whole aspect of fashion shows, modeling, but all runway models, they're like 5'6". You have to be 5'6" and taller, otherwise you can't model at all. So myself, I really want to do something in the fashion industry for petite models and really revolutionize that and tell them that, hey, you can still model also. So I have this vision that I'm trying to like figure out right now. It's still in the beginning process steps of it. But in the end, I see myself being this leader in the fashion industry, like for petite models, and just like having people look up to me, knowing that I started this when I was in college. So I mean, still, I mean, not having it so it's directed towards college students, but people in college know, like, okay, she started when she was in college. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I loved when you said you have to be 5'6" and tall or you can't model at all. That's
Yeah.
It's also that's very true. You're targeting a gap market, basically. You're finding a gap in the market. Mm-hmm. And you're pursuing it. And that's exactly my approach, too, is finding the gap in the market that's a billion dollar industry and going with it.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. Well, so one thing that we haven't talked about yet is actually the podcast. And just want to kind of mention that before we get off to the rapid fire questions. Tell us a little bit more about what that is and what people can expect to hear more about when between you and your co-host.
Yeah, so we created this podcast for college students. Me and Dan, we were both in college. He goes to St. Ambrose, which is like 3 hours away from me. But I kind of like that whole aspect of podcasting just because people get to listen to you through the experiences that you've been through. So we put out podcasts every Wednesday and every Friday. So on Wednesdays, we just kind of talk about literally any topic. It can be just about lifestyle, about business. I know we've talked a lot about networking, just things that we've been doing, opportunities, just really random things. And then we just also talk about things that other people want to hear us talk about. So then we do that on Wednesdays. Then each Friday, we bring on a successful entrepreneur who either started in college or they're still currently in college. So I know we had Brandon on, Brandy Adams on, who's my mentor. We've had people that Dan knew who are currently in college right now and who have started really successful companies. So we just kind of get their insight, their journey on how they started, why they started their company and stuff like that. So I really like it just because on Wednesdays, we kind of just get to relax, just talk about different things really in college. Then on Friday, we get to hear insight from different entrepreneurs.
Right. And what kind of a format is that? Is that like a Facebook Live kind of podcast, or is that like a traditional podcast like this, or where can people find that?
Yeah, so it's on iTunes. You can find it on iTunes. And then also we have a website. It's called dr2cr.com. So that's just D-R-T-O-C-R, which is where we put up all of our podcasts also and our show notes. But mainly we have it up on iTunes where people go and listen to that.
What is D-R-T-O? What does it stand for?
So it's dorm rooms to conference rooms. We didn't want the website to be that long for the domain, so that's why we did DR2CR.
Gotcha. I'm really curious also, how do you position the podcast when you tell other people about it? I was listening to my friend Dane Maxwell on a Facebook Live talking about how he did a podcast where he did 12 episodes basically, and he made about $84,000 from it by selling it basically as, I'm going to send you one interview a month for $50 a month of how a real estate broker turned their business or turned their increased the amount of people they're recruiting, retaining, and building profit centers for. And basically, he did 12 interviews and made $84,000 basically by charging 150 people $50 a month. And his positioning was basically, would one new idea to get you a new real estate agent bring you in more money? And he knew that if they got one new real estate agent, they'd make $6,000. So the reason I'm asking you about positioning is because the way that you sell a product or the way that you tell someone about it can change whether it's just a hobby you do for fun or whether it makes you money or what kind of credibility it brings you or what kind of opportunities it brings you. So when you tell someone about your podcast, how do you tell them about it? How do you position it?
Well, honestly, we started this podcast just kind of to do it for fun. We weren't really looking to monetize with it, maybe in the future, but we literally just did it for fun. And our main target is college students, hence the name Dorm Rooms to Conference Rooms, because, I mean, everybody who we are interviewing, they started when they were in college. So kind of seeing that whole journey that they took to where they are right now is really interesting. I feel like a lot of college students, they want to hear about other successes, which drives them to do their own success. So, I mean, on Wednesday, sometimes it's just kind of fun to listen to a guy and a girl talk about different things in college. So that's why I wanted to do a co-host with a male, just because you get those two different perspectives from a guy and a girl. So if that kind of answers your question, it was solely just for fun, but our main target is like college students.
Yes. That's wow. Fun.
I have so much advice to give college students. It's not even funny.
Right? Yeah. Oh, poor Layla.
I have 9 years of experience. Yeah.
No, so, you and I both, for sure. For sure.
Yes.
So, again, you're looking at getting your book done. And, your goal is to have it done in 30 days. We're in the middle of that time span now. Luckily, again, you have your spring break going on. You had mentioned that you're looking to make an Amazon bestseller. Is there like a specific kind of goal that you have in mind to be able to do that, accomplish that goal? Or how are you predicting that that's going to actually take place?
Yeah, so actually, I don't know the exact answer to that because Laura, she's helping me throughout that process. And later today, we're actually jumping on a Skype call to talk about that process.
Okay.
So I know there is a specific way on how you, the genre and the area you put it up on Amazon that helps you gain that bestseller status.
Okay.
So for me, I mean, my target is college students, but I need to put it in a specific area on Amazon that will drive more traffic towards that area. So I don't know the exact answer to that, but Laura's helping me throughout that process.
Okay. And will that be in like a later blog post or something that you can, you know, we can forward people to once the...
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, cool. I guess now would be a good time to do the rapid fire questions. Layla, you want to start us off?
Yes, sir. I do. So, name three influencers or teachers that have launched you to where you're at today.
Yeah, so the three that come to my mind is Brandon T. Adams, who was my main mentor for the past year or so. Philip Campus, who I met through Brandon. He's just helped me throughout just really being inspired and motivated towards my goals. And then Tim Seifert, who is actually my high school student or my high school teacher, and he was my business professor in high school. So he kind of help me spark my interest in business.
So what is the hardest thing you've ever had to say no to?
I think other opportunities. So obviously, since you guys have interviewed me today, I'm doing a lot of different things. So I think just saying no to a lot of other opportunities and just knowing that not every opportunity is good for you just because you get overwhelmed. So yeah.
Awesome. What is something you believed as an 18-year-old that you'd tell yourself is completely inaccurate and why?
Perfectionism. Mm. Because I feel like a lot of college students, they feel like they need to be perfect in anything that they're doing. And that is so not true. Not everybody can be perfect in everything. I've made so many mistakes throughout my years in college and in high school. So just knowing that not everybody can be perfect, but just learning from those mistakes can really help and benefit you in the future.
If you woke up tomorrow as your 10-year-old self and all your memories were still intact, what would you do?
I would start doing all of this when I was 10 years old, honestly, because something that I always tell myself is I wish I would have started it earlier, just because at this day and age, like, I would have been so much more further in my game if I did start earlier. So if I was 10 and I had all of these memories, I would be working on, I mean, everything I'm doing right now when I was 10.
What is the secret to achieving personal freedom?
Believing in yourself. That might sound really cliche, but it's so true. I've read so many books that have helped me. Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. That's my favorite book. Brandon told me to read that book. I'm so glad that I did because it really changed my mindset in believing that I can do whatever I want, because it is in your mind. If you tell yourself that you can do it, you can. And I mean, that sounds so cliche, but it's so true and it really does work.
Cool.
The secret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The secret. Thoughts become things.
Yeah. Yep.
There's in the last episode that I had with Clay Green, he had talked about that there's actually a sequel to that book. So you might want to look that up.
Oh, I think it's called, what is the name of, I got to look it up. I remember hearing
about
this.
I believe it's like something, The Devil in the Details, but.
Outwitting the Devil?
Outwitting the Devil. And for whatever reason, I had the perception that it was hard to find. And when I had gone through, I had like gone through it, and like someone had given it to me, and it was like I was like, oh yeah, I you know, I've read it, and but then I later found out that it was, I had gotten the impression that it was hard to find. I hopped on Amazon this past week, and it's like, no, it's there. So no excuse that you can't.
Yeah, that and I don't mean to overstep you, but it's so true about the thoughts become things. And, you know, if you put your mind to it and thinking positively, it's definitely not cliche, because it is so easy to feel lower than yourself and think that you're not good enough because you don't fit these certain criteria points to make you be like that person who's already there. And I tell everybody, I started off with 0 subscribers, and that's how everyone starts, with 0. So that book was the first audiobook I ever listened to in college, and it was the one that really helped me get through this funk.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the best semester I ever had because of that book and just thinking positively. It was my mom that gave it to me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, definitely believing yourself is so huge.
Cool. So as we're closing out today, and say that we're, you know, a college student is listening to this interview, and they're thinking, well, you know, that's Saba. I here I am, my last year, or maybe they're just beginning. What are some steps that they can take to make sure that when they're graduating, that they're not like having to start from scratch, essentially, that they're actually building their career while they're in school?
Yeah, so I think the main advice that I would want to tell college students is to try and find somebody who can mentor you throughout the process. Because for me, I wouldn't be doing all this if I didn't have Brandon as a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
He's the like main force behind this, because he motivated and inspired me throughout it. So actually in my book, I devote a whole chapter on like finding a mentor and networking while you are in college. So to do that, a lot of people, they don't know how to, I mean, go out and find a mentor and stuff like that. But it's really just about attending these events in college and just taking those opportunities. Like for me, it was just that one extra credit speaker that I went to that really changed my life. And it's so funny because it was only that one thing that I did that led to the next thing and then the next thing. So if you take those opportunities while you are in college and then just follow up with those people, it's amazing on the things that you can do. I mean, I talk about how you have to go to networking events and then actually approaching people, talking to them, telling them what you want to do in life, and then following up to them. And then for me and Brandon, he's helped me through a lot of things that I'm doing. But the reason I gained that really great relationship and bond with him was because I added a lot of value to him. He saw like me and my work ethic. So when I interned from the Young Entrepreneur Convention last year, obviously I was working for him and he saw like the passion that I had. So just throughout that whole time in this entire year, he saw that and he's helped me throughout like all of this now. So find that person who can mentor you throughout the entire journey.
Yeah. And then you would probably say, actually do what they say so they continue to be your mentor.
Yeah.
And because Layla actually sent me something last night. What was that word that you learned?
An asshole? Is that someone who asks you and then
yeah,
that's funny.
Yeah, yeah. So if you do seek a mentor, don't fight what they're telling you, because they've more than likely been in your shoes and are trying to kind of skip you around the pothole, so to speak. So for sure.
Yeah, for cool. Sure.
Well, Saba, if people want to get more help, find out about your book when it gets published later this month, and or want to connect with you, where can they go?
Yeah, so I have my personal website. It's sabaali.com. And then I also do love Instagram, so you can follow me on there. I just put up fun pictures, and then I also put up an image of each of my daily or my weekly blogs that I do. So my Instagram handle is saba.74. So follow me on there. And then I also really love Snapchat. So if you want to get daily motivational advice and just want to see my day-to-day life, you can add me on Snapchat also, which is Saba with two H's. So it's SABAHH.14.
All right. Well, thank you again for coming on today, and definitely expect great things from you.
Yep. Thank you guys so much for having me on today.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Again, a big congratulations to Saba for getting ahead of the game at college level. If you like what you heard from her today, be sure to check out her and Dane's podcast. If you want to check out her book, that will be in the show notes as well. Also, if you listen to this and you're questioning your choices even more than you did before, you can always send us an email at heyguys@newinsepto.com. Layla or myself will be happy to chat with you. Show note extras for this session include a few different Facebook Live videos from Saba. The first one is where Dan and her interview Hector Santi Esteban. That's an example of their Friday show. And, I'm actually going to make it a point to see if I can't get Hector on. And after that, you'll see a sample of their Wednesday show where they just hang out and discuss certain topics that can come up in college life. And third, as I said in the pre-show, Saba was successful in getting her book to be a bestseller. So I wanted to share with you for a moment of when you found out that it actually happened. Mission accomplished. Finally, I wanted to share with you guys a more recent show that's called Pivoting in Life. For me, this struck home because, I personally had to pivot a couple of times. A great topic that I think a bunch of folks need to hear, because change is okay, even if it's change of a major, moving to a new school, or a change of career. So that's about it for today. Let us know what you liked about today's session. We really appreciate the iTunes reviews. You can find our iTunes page by going to newinceptions.com/AOLiTunes, or again, drop us that email via heyguys@newinceptions.com. Also, if you want to connect with Saba directly or any of our past guests, you can do that by going to the AOL Network group on Facebook. There you can find all of our past guests, other listeners, and members of the New Inceptions team. You may ask us any questions you have, or if you want, let us know what you're up to. We really like to hear what you guys are. You can find that group by going to newinceptions.com/AOL networking. In next week's episode, Daniel and I get the chance to interview a successful entrepreneur who's been at the game since his late teens. And today he finds himself as a digital nomad helping companies build sales funnels, and he's also the founder of the Facebook group Millennial Entrepreneur Community. His name is Arnie Disby, and if you're a millennial entrepreneur yourself and haven't joined his group, I think you're going to be really pleased to hear what he has to say, and honestly, I think you're missing out if you're not part of that group. Anyhow, that's all there is to Session 83. Thank you again for joining Layla, Daniel, Saba, and myself, and until next time, dig in, have fun, and take care in whatever you're creating, and we'll see you back here next time.
Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, Instagram @new.inceptions, and on the web @newinceptions.com.